This morning I'd like to talk a little bit of conflict management. As most of you know, this is a very important topic that each of us face in our day-to-day lives, whether it is in our personal lives or whether it is in our family or at work. We all face conflicts in different forms and sizes in different periods of time, and we just like to take a look at some of these principles that God has for us from His Word that can encourage us, that can give us some kind of some things that we can hold on to even as we navigate conflict management. I'd like to move to the first slide. Let's start with the basic question as to why we have conflicts. Why do we ha see conflicts arise in families, at work, even within countries and state? James 4:1 actually answers that question. It says, it asks the question, why do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure at war within your members? In other words, the Bible is very clear that there is a desire that resides with each of us, something that is in us that wants us to have something, and there is a reasonable amount of craving or a strong pull to have that, and due to that, we end up having some conflict with somebody else because we want something and we are not able to get that. And we will next look at how we can save ourselves from conflict. When I say save ourselves from conflict, how can we, is there a way by which we can say that I don't even have to put myself in a place where there is going to be conflict, and I can sort of preempt it or be preventive on it so that I don't even have to get into that conflict situation. So that is something that we can look at. And in James 4:2, we actually say that we see that it says, you lust and you do not have, you murder, you covet, and you cannot obtain, you fight a war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. So the question or the question is, why do we not ask? And the reason comes for that in verse 3. It says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss so that you may spend in your pleasures. So what the Bible is saying essentially here is that we have conflict because of the desires that we have, the passions that we have, what we want to have for us. And we go about doing that in our own way. We try to achieve it from our own human techniques or human approach or something that we take matters into our own hands and we try to obtain it. And then Bible says we do not receive them because we have not asked God. The Bible clearly says that ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find. So we have not asked. And then the question comes is why we have not asked. We have not asked because we have asked and it has not been answered. We've been asked and we did not receive. And then the question again comes is why have we asked and why have we not received? And the answer again the Bible gives us is because we have asked amiss, or we have asked incorrectly, or we have asked wrongly. We have asked that is not in accordance with God's will, and so that we might spend it on our own pleasures. So friends, even this morning, even as we look into this area, I would like you to, whenever you face a situation like this, I would like you to look at, I would like all of us, including me, to look at when we are having conflict, the first step would be to do some sort of an introspection. And that introspection would ask the question of where this all is coming from. Is it our own desires? It is our own pleasures? Are we asking for the right reason? What is behind it? So that even when we have some sort of a conflict, there is some understanding even within us to know why we are asking for what we are asking, or why we are standing for what we are asking, or why there is a conflict that could be leading. Because if we do not be in that position, then we are already in a sort of a, I would say, not in an advantage position, because we don't have God's presence with us. We don't have God's wisdom with us. God is not backing us up because we are in a conflict where God is not pleased in the first place. So the first step I would say that even as we face conflict in our life, to do an introspection to see what is our position. Moving on to the next slide. So then comes the question, there are genuine cases where we get into some sort of a conflict, and it is going to happen. It is going to happen at work. It's going to happen at family. It's going to happen, you know, in your neighborhood. It's going to happen in your school. It's going to happen wherever there are two people and two people who have difference of opinion, people who value different things at different points of time. So there is going to be a situation where there is going to be conflict. We cannot escape them. It's the reality of life. And so the next question is, what is conflict management? Conflict management is basically the process by or the tools and the techniques or the skill that we have in our toolkit, in our day-to-day experiences, to take it to the marketplace, to take it and apply that meaningfully in situations where we are facing conflict, so that the disagreements can be managed, any kind of disputes can be managed. It also calls for a solution mindset. It calls for going into the conflict, not just to win our position, but also to actually look at this as a problem that has to be solved, so that we are not looking at it as a fight to be won, but we're actually looking at it as a problem to be solved. And we come with a solution so that it is a win-win for both parties. And that is something that would glorify God. And so there are skills that we need, such as active listening, because many times when we go into conflict or when we go into this kind of situations, we don't have a clear understanding of what the other person has. And many times in the world, we are always told, like, you don't really need to worry about what the other person thinks or what's on their mind. It's your position. It is your point of view that you need to push. But the Bible always calls us for, we should be quick to listen and slow to speak. So active listening, to really understand what is going on in the other person's heart and mind, is a very key skill that we need to take. Second would be the assertive speaking, or a clear speaking, or a positive, firm speaking, where when we speak, there is clarity and there is no ambiguity, and there is people understand what we are trying to say, and we are not saying something one time and backing off another time, but there is a clear, a firm, bold, clear communication. And then we also need the communication skills, which is basically the techniques that we use to carry the message across, whether it is some kind of a communication, some tools, or either through email or through WhatsApp or through, you know, or a phone call, or even through a written letter. Whatever be the approach that we are using, we have, each approach has its own requirements as to how you could draft an email, or how do you, even today, how to draft a WhatsApp message. There is so much of skill that we need to take. We might have all the best of intentions when we're trying to reach out to somebody and we're trying to communicate in a conflict scenario. But if it's not coming through in the right way, then we are actually not helping in the solution. So it is incumbent upon us to pick up the right skills, so that we come through in a positive way, we come through in a collaborative way, we come through in a clear way with you know, the right attitude of trying to solve the problem. I'm moving on to the next slide. I hope you are able to see my slide. This is a standard technique that we use in the you know, in the management world, and I am just going to touch upon it briefly. Some of you might have already be aware of this. Here we talk. We see two axes. One is the cooperative axis that you see on the x-axis, which is basically our willingness to accommodate and help the other person with a view to be more collaborative and more supportive, with a more care for the other person. On the y-axis, we see something which talks about the assertive index. That is basically how far we are involved and how far we are standing for the cause, and for the how strongly we are asserting our point of view for to resolve the conflict that is before us. And so here with this 2x2 chart, you can see there are five different flavors of it. On the bottom left, you see one approach which is called the avoiding approach. And this is basically a sort of approach where we actually avoid the conflict. This is a situation where you know there is a conflict and you don't want to face the conflict. You are avoiding the conflict. And many times we take this route whenever it could be even like when we see a person in our at work, in the marketplace, somebody with whom we are having a conflict, we see their vehicle parked there, or we see that person's colleague there, or somebody there that gives us the hint that that person is there. And many times we avoid that whole situation because we do not want to get into that situation. And that might not be the best option if you're trying to run away from the problem, because the problem is still there. We are just trying to avoid it. There could be scenarios where we would have to use that, and that could be scenarios where we don't need to address that right away. There might be some time that is needed before we need to address it. So in those cases, we could use some sort of avoiding technique just to get some more time. But most cases, that the avoiding approach is an approach that says, I don't want to face it. And that is not an approach that is going to be beneficial. In fact, in the long run, that will actually cause a greater damage. The next one on the top, we can see the competing approach. The competing approach is where one party asserts such a strong influence of the other party without really looking at what is the best interest of everybody. And again, we see many times in business, many times at work, we see this sort of a top-down approach where somebody is so strong in their point of view, somebody is so focused and so assertive in what they want. They want to win at all costs, and they want to be the winner of the conflict. They want to be the winner of the argument, and there is no compassion, and there is no place for the other person to even voice their concern. It comes in a very strong way. Again, there could be scenarios where we will need to use this in our own lives. This could be specifically scenarios where we need to take a decision when there is a time clock that is clicking. So it could be like you are trying to do something within the next 24 hours, and you have some deadline of some sort, and then there is no time to actually sit and ask questions and try to do a very detailed conflict management approach. So you have to take a hard decision for the interest of the project, for the interest of the work. And so that could be a scenario where you can have, you are expected to take that kind of a decision. But in general, that is a very sort of an aggressive approach, and we should avoid that if there is a situation. Then on the right, we see in the bottom right, we see an accommodating approach. An accommodating approach is basically something where we totally give in for the benefit of the other party. We see this where sometimes people, when they are in a conflict, they just don't want the conflict to, increase. They don't want the conflict to get into an escalation. They don't want, and so, or they just want to please the other person for no reason. And so they are completely just sort of handing over whatever the other person wants in a loose win situation, where they are not gaining anything, but they are just sort of surrendering whatever the other person is asking. And that can also be used at times when that situation has to be, there are situations where you use that kind of a where you give in to the other person. But again, this is not something that is going to be beneficial for you or for your organization. And so that also has to be used with caution. On the middle, we see a compromising situation where there is some sort of a compromise that comes, we sort of split the pros and cons so that both parties are not winning, but both parties have a little bit of a win and a little bit of lose. And this is again a sort of in-between position, compromising situation that can benefit and that can be used and that can be applied. It is reasonable if both parties are able to come for an agreement. And then the top right corner is basically the best solution or the win-win solution, where we come together with both parties. We come together with a collaborative mindset. We come together with a clear communication mindset. We come together in a problem-solving mindset to really tackle the problem head-on, to understand the pros and cons, to be open to do some adjustments to our own thinking and our own position, and to come together with the other party to be able to solve the problem. So that's basically the Thomas Kuhlman model. I just want to quickly walk through the Abraham Lot story, which talks about a conflict that Abraham and Lot had. As you all know, the verse is on the screen, I'm not going into the detail. As you all know that in Genesis chapter 13, when Abraham and Lot, they journey together, at some point of time, their possessions or their herds, the animals that they have, are large. And then we see that there is a sort of a conflict that happens between the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot. And Abraham says to Lot, let there not be strife or conflict between you and me, between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are brethren, we are family. And then in verse 9, he goes on to say, it's not the whole land before you. And he says, please separate from me. If you take the left, I will go to the right. If you go to the right, I will go to the left. Again, this is a very good example for us to learn some principles. And I'm going to just walk you through a few principles from the Abraham-Lot story. The first one is being proactive. Here we see this Abraham is actually very, very wise in the way he's handling the situation. The moment he sees a situation of disagreement or a conflict between his staff and his Lot staff, he could have always taken a position and say, okay, let's see what really happens here. If this is going into a bigger problem, then I will deal with it. Or he might say, let them, let those two, let the herdsmen deal with it by themselves. Or you could say, this is just a minor issue. Let's not worry too much about it. But here we see Abraham completely understanding what the problem is, completely understanding that this is just not a mere one-time occurrence, that this could have a long recurring situation. And so he's very proactive and straight away gets into action to address the problem before it goes out of control. So that is a principle that we can learn from Abraham, to be proactive, that we are actually one step ahead before the situation escalates. And the second principle that we see from the Abraham and Lot story is that here we clearly see that Abraham goes to Lot for the negotiation or for the discussion with some solutions and options in plan. He doesn't go blank. He has some options. He's done his homework. He's thought this through. He's looked at the pros and cons of each approach. So when he's going into that discussion, he's very clear even before he goes in that what he's going to get, what he might not get, and he's going to the other party with solutions and options in hand. So I would like each of us to look at, when we go into a conflict situation, how many times do we do our homework in terms of being prepared for solutions, so that when we go into a situation that they're actually proposing some solution, not just standing for our point of view, but we are actually giving the other person some options to choose from. The third principle that we see from Abraham and Lot's story, which is really fantastic and which is really very biblical and which is, honors God, is that Abraham clearly puts the relationship ahead of personal gain. He immediately says, we are family. He builds the positive connection, saying that for me, your relationship is more important than all the conflict that we are having. And this is something that we can really learn, that the value of the person is always ahead of the gain that we receive. And this is something that we all see in our lives. You might have heard stories within families, especially when it comes to property issues or some other things that need to be divided. We always, or I shouldn't say always, many times we see people putting personal gain ahead of the relationship. And it is very easy to take that default position. But we see, with the grace of God, with Abraham's maturity in God and faith in God, he puts the relationship ahead of his personal gain. The fourth one that we see from this episode is that Abraham is very genuine. When we go into a conflict situation, and when we are proposing some solution, or when we are dealing with a conflict, or when we are trying to address a solution, we have to be genuine. And here Abraham is clearly genuine in his solution, in his approach, in his communication. In this world, we see many times that people, and we can sense it even within that, when we are discussing with people, that they are not genuine. They are just giving superficial answers. They are giving, where we are not even sure if what they are saying will hold true 1 week from now. Right. So we are living in that kind of a situation where people are saying things what they don't mean. People say it maybe temporarily, but there is a lack of genuinity in them. There is a reasonable amount of superficiality that we see. And so as God children, God calls us to be genuine. We mean what we say, and we say what we mean. And the fifth principle that we gather out of this episode is that he uses kind words. Many times when we go into some conflict situation, it is very, very typical for us to raise our voice. Even the kindest person even the gentlest person will lose the cool, will lose the calm, and there is a tendency to come through in a very strong way. Even if we are kind at heart or if we are having good intentions and all of that, but sometimes the communication and the words we use, they come through in a strong and a harsh way in kind of a conflict situation. But here again, we see Abraham is very kind, very gentle. He is clear. He is very specific, yet he is kind in his approach. And so that is something that we learn from Abraham and the way he deals with the situation. And the sixth point that I would like to place before you is allow reasonable time, but not unlimited time. Again, this is something that most of you would have seen in the business world or in the work situation, where there is always tremendous pressure for time. There is a pressure to decide. There is a pressure to give your agreement with very limited time. We don't have proper understanding, and sometimes we are pressured to make promises. We are pressured to make commitments that we have not thought through. And in this particular example, we see that Abraham is actually very clear with his solution or his options. He is giving him adequate time so that Lot has some time to decide what he has to do. And so when we go into situations like that, and when we are trying to resolve conflict, it's not something that will happen immediately in one day. Sometimes it could take a couple of days, it could be a week or so. It could be, depending on the size of the problem, it could take different time. But a reasonable amount of time has to be given so that the other party has the time to think through that, other party has a time to evaluate their position, and they are able to come back with a good response from their side. And on the caveat, a small caveat here, that when we are talking about time, we're not talking about unlimited time. We're not talking about time where we just go into a negotiation or some sort of a conflict resolution mode, and then we leave options, and then we come out giving indefinite time without any clarity on when it has to be resolved. We have to be very clear that maybe we could say we would need a minimum 24 hours. Maybe it could be 2 days, or maybe when we have to do something like that, we could say, talk over that with your family and get back to us on Monday. Take the weekend off to discuss about this. Whatever be that time frame, that is something that you would have to decide for your situation. But that is something that we as God's children, to make sure that we give adequate time, at the same time, we're not giving indefinite, unlimited time. And the last point that I'd like to say from the Abraham Lot story is what I call the bless and send. In this episode, we see that Abraham gives a lot of options for him. And obviously, Lot takes the better option, the better deal. And Abraham comes with, the second best option. But the beauty is Abraham is actually blessing and sending Lot, saying, go, we will go in peace. We are family, we are brothers. And he comes, he blesses that person, and he comes back with a lot of joy and happiness. He doesn't come back defeated. And that again is something that we learned that is so beautiful, that when we go with that collaborative mindset, that we come back from the discussion, come back from the conflict with peace, sending that person with blessing or resolving that with the blessing, and we come back with joy and happiness and satisfied that we have done things God's way. And then the last slide I would like to talk about is, why do we need to do conflict resolution God's way? Again, there are many techniques to do conflict resolution. The world has its own approaches. The world has its own reasons for why they do it, how they do it. But what is the reason that we have to do conflict resolution God's way? The first one I have here is because it is a testimony. And there is nothing more beautiful than a testimony in the marketplace when we apply God's principles, and the world can see that we are applying God's principles, and it is a benefit. It is beneficial for them, beneficial for us, and the problem is solved in a beautiful way. There is nothing more beautiful than that, to see God at work in that situation. God has called each one of us to be the salt and light. So that is something that we should always remember, that however we deal with conflict resolution, it is an example for the world to see how we do things in God's way. It is a testimony. Second, it activates God's blessing. I'm not reading that verse, but if you just go to Genesis chapter 13 and verses after that, we see God calls Abraham and says, you come out and look at, look northward, look southward, look eastward, look westward. He says, you come and look as far as your eyes can see, I'm going to bless you. And when Abraham came out of that discussion, it seemed like he got the second best option. But the moment he came and left that that discussion or that negotiation room, and he came out of it, there was God standing for Abraham and say, now you tell me what you want. You go see left, you go see right, you go see north, you go see south. Whatever your eyes are seeing, I'm blessing you. You walk the length and breadth of the land, all of that belongs to you. And that is the blessing that God activates. And when we are genuine in doing conflict resolution God's way, God just comes down to bless us and makes us even more blessed after that. And the third reason why we need to do it is it's because it's a legacy. Many times we look at these kind of situations as a one-off scenario. We look at this as something, that small thing that occurred along the way. But what we don't realize is that we are leaving behind a legacy. We are leaving behind a legacy for our children. We are leaving a legacy for our grandchildren. We are leaving a legacy for whatever comes after this. And people are going to quote us. People are going to quote our example. People are going to quote the words we use and say, that situation, this particular person solved God's, solved the conflict God's way. And so that is a legacy that we leave behind. So with those, I would like to close this talk. I thank you all for joining. I hope that it was a blessing for you. Shall we just close our eyes and pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful Monday morning. We thank you for speaking to us through your word from the Abraham, Lord, story, Lord. I pray that you would help us to apply these principles, as simple as they might seem. Those are challenging when we apply it in our lives. I pray that you give us the grace and strength to understand these and to apply these in our life and be a blessing to others around us. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.